Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions, then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived, God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. So just for a stop there, Paul so far has been dictating to a secretary, which they often did in those days. Now he takes up the pen himself to finish off his letter. Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised obey the law, yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. So let's pray. Gracious Lord, we come before you to thank you for the marvelous gift of the cross and all that means for us, especially it is a means by which we come into the new creation and you bring the new creation to us. So Lord, as we hear this word today, establish us as new creation here at HDK. In your precious name we pray, O Lord. Amen. What counts is a new creation. When we use this phrase in everyday language, what counts, we are referring to what is most important, what is the most basic. If I am lost in the bush, what counts most is not that I have a compass with me, but rather that I know how to use the compass. Because if I don't know how to use the compass, I won't ever be able to find my way out. So what is most basic, what is most fundamental, is for me to be able to use a compass. In our text for today, Paul writes, what counts is a new creation. That's the basic, that's the fundamental. You might be a member of a church, but if you're not a new creation, it counts for nothing. The church may be large and flashy and growing, and the preacher a great orator, a real extrovert and dynamic, but if it's not a new creation, it counts for nothing. For what counts is a new creation. On the night before he died upon the cross, Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, and then he said these words to them from John chapter 13. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men, including women, will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And Jesus was very serious about this command. Later in John chapter 15, verse 12, he said, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. What is at the heart of Jesus' community of disciples, what is at the heart of the community of the church, is the love of God shown to us and given to us through Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit. As church, if we genuinely love one another as Christ has loved us, we will demonstrate that we are a completely different community from anything else that is found in the world. It will be our love for one another that will cause the world to actually sit up and take notice. That's the way it was in the church at the beginning. What did those ancient Romans think about Christians? Well, on several occasions, these words were attributed to the neighbours of the early Christian church. They would say, "See how they love one another." The love of God in Jesus Christ was demonstrated to the world by the first Christians, by the way they lived and loved and died. It showed the world that here was something new, something unlike anything else found in the world, the old creation. This was new creation whose foundation, expression, and expression were from the heart, nature, and being of the God of love, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who lives in, of, and as love. These verses from Paul show us how we are to live as a new creation in the world, to be truly different from anything else that exists in this world, this old creation. And it begins with the work of God himself. It comes to us from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. In the words preceding our text from Galatians 5:22 following, Paul writes, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other." These fruit of the Spirit summarize the character of Jesus Christ. And love is the first and greatest expression of them all. If you want to know what love is, look at the rest of the fruit of the Spirit. The whole eight summarize what love is perfectly. And this love comes to us through death, through crucifying the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And this isn't a once done, all completed process. It's a day by day process. To put to death the passions and desires of the old creation, to crucify them, and to rise up again in new life in the newness of the Spirit, the way of love. We can have victory over the old passions and desires because we now live life controlled by the Spirit. And as Paul says, let us keep in step with the Spirit. We are a new creation in Christ. Let's no longer live like the old creation, conceited, provoking, and envying each other. So how do we demonstrate to the world that we are a new creation who have crucified the old sinful nature with its passions and desires? Well, it's by the way we live in community. Have any of you ever seen David Jeremiah on telly, the preacher David Jeremiah? Some of you have. I love the way he has a theme and then he has all the parts starting with the same letter. I'm going to do that for you this morning with the letter C. The community of the Spirit shows itself different from the world of the sinful nature by the way that we correct. That's the first C. Paul writes, "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself or you may be tempted." When someone falls into sin in the world, the way that it is dealt with is to condemn them, cut them off, and alienate them. But in the body of Christ, the church, when someone falls into sin, the way that we deal with them is not to condemn them, cut them off and alienate them, but rather to get alongside of them and restore them gently. Help them to overcome the sin that they fell into and crucify that sinful nature with its passions and live again in the fruit of the Spirit and the way of love. It's easy to condemn and cut off and alienate someone, but it's a lot harder to get alongside of them, share in their wounds and scars, and help them journey towards restoration and wholeness. This doesn't apply to those who are just within the church also. It also applies to people who want to come into the church community, to be part of the fellowship and to find companionship for their journey out from under the weight of sin into the freedom of the Spirit. For those of the church who would judge, condemn, and cut off, Paul has a word of warning. He says, "Watch yourself, or you may also be tempted." Pride lurks around the corner, waiting to pounce. If we think that we are better than those who fall into sin or those who struggle with sin, or that we're some Christian who somehow has a right to condemn, and our judgment and pride will actually lead us into sin. And whereas those who know they are sinners and their lives are broken, they know their fallenness, those who judge and condemn actually fail to see their own brokenness, and so they are deeper in sin. So when we see a brother or sister of the church sins, or someone struggling under the weight of sin comes to church, we are to restore them gently, walk beside them, help them in their struggles and support them, because that's the way of love. The community of the Spirit also shows itself different from the world of the sinful nature by the way we care. That's the second C. Paul writes, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." Jesus was known as the man for others. He was totally other-focused. And that is where the focus of love will lead you to others. The world of the sinful nature is self-centered. It's all about me, my wants, my needs, my comfort, my security, my happiness, me, 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 me. But the way of love is focused on others, particularly those who are carrying burdens, those who are struggling under the weight of life, no matter what that may be, physical sickness, mental problems, emotional stress, unemployment, disability, and so I could go on. The Christian community, when it sees those things happening, take those burdens that they see in other people's lives as opportunities to serve, not as opportunities to wash one's hands and say, "Well, I'm too busy, it's too much for me to be involved in, they shouldn't really be here anyway." In Galatia, Paul was having trouble with the Judaizers, those who wanted an easy form of Christianity. They wanted to fulfill the law via circumcision and not by the cross. But Paul is saying, if you want to fulfill the law of the Messiah, the Christ. And in doing so, Paul is not talking about a new set of rules, but rather the law of love, the law of giving oneself in love and humility and service of others. As Jesus carried the cross for others, so we are called as Christians to carry the burdens of others, because that's the way of love. The community of the Spirit is also different from the world in the way we compare. We live in a dog-eat-dog world, don't we? The emphasis of the world is all about getting ahead, about beating the person beside you. The workmate beside you is the one who could possibly get a promotion ahead of you. The neighbour next door is one who could have a bigger boat or a better car than yours. Someone else may be prettier than you, more handsome than you, fitter than you, have more sporting trophies than you, have more degrees than you, have more skills than you, and so I could go on. But this is folly in the community of the Spirit, because in actuality, all people stand equal before the foot of the cross. Pride is to be avoided, competition is to be avoided, judgment is not to occur, because the minute you judge, pride steps in and condemns you. Building yourself up by tearing someone else down is just not on, because the person living in step with the Spirit acknowledges God as being the source of all who they are, all they can do, and all they have. And if you really believe that God made you who you are, you don't have to compare yourself to anybody else or wish you were like them or compete with them or want to have what they have. The only person we need to compare ourselves with is ourselves. And those comparisons should not be, have I got a bigger house than what I had 10 years ago? Have I got more degrees than I had 10 years ago? Am I more successful in life than what I was 10 years ago? But rather, am I more loving than what I used to be? How many more people am I supporting and serving in life than what I used to? Is my faith growing? Paul writes, each should carry their own load. In other words, the only person you need to compare yourself with is yourself, because that's the way of love. And the community of the Spirit is different from the world of the sinful nature in the way we contribute. That's the fourth C. Paul writes, anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Paul was addressing a problem in the church at Galatia, as I said. These Judaizers wanted an easy Christianity, and they didn't want to contribute to Paul's ministry, because he was teaching a hard Christianity, a Christianity of the cross. But Paul reminded them that the instructor, understand pastor there, preaching and ministering the word, did not have opportunity for paid employment, so he needed to be supported by the members of the church to contribute to his livelihood and his well-being. With budgets and Anglican canon law, this doesn't seem to be too relevant to us. And yet it is. When you think the way the world operates is minimum effort for maximum return. How little can I put in? How much can I get out? In the church, the contribution of each person with their time, talents, gifts, and abilities are important. The church is not about consumerism and self-centeredness, but rather community and contribution. And so many organisations in society today are folding up because people do not want to contribute. They may have many excuses why not, and some of them might even be good excuses. But as a result, scout groups are folding because they can't get any leaders. School councils are struggling to remain open because there are many parents who just don't want to participate. Many service groups today are run by retirees because they're the only people who have a little spare time. But in the community of the Spirit draws us together, equips us, motivates us all to contribute and to give service. And why is that? Because that's the way of love. So the way we demonstrate as Christians that we are different from any other community or organisation in the world is the way we correct, the way we care, the way we compare, and the way we contribute. But as Paul writes, do not be deceived, God cannot be mocked. You cannot live in the community of the Spirit living according to the sinful nature and expect a good harvest. What you sow is what you reap. You can never make a silk purse from a sow's ear, as the saying goes. Paul says that if you live in the community of faith by condemning others, by not caring for others, by comparing yourself to others and not contributing, don't be surprised if your community doesn't bear a harvest. In fact, it will go backwards and probably in time fold up, because it will offer nothing different from what the world offers. There'll be no harvest, and the result in the end will be death. To live in the community of the Spirit is hard work. It requires a lot of giving and serving and sacrifice and self-denial. But if you do not give up, if you keep doing the hard work of sowing the seeds of love and of the fruit of the Spirit, you will reap a rich harvest. You know, I think that some members and a lot of pastors over the years have given up because they've seen very little results for all their hard work of sowing. Waiting for the harvest just seems to be too long. And you know, you don't have to leave the church to give up. You can still come to worship on a Sunday. Why, you can even stand up the front and preach and administer the sacraments. But in your heart, you can give up. It seems all too hard. It seems like you're always pushing the barrow uphill. And so it's easier just to turn up, do the religious thing, and then go home. But Paul says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those of the family of believers. The people of your own church family, continue to sow the seed. Don't give up. So how do we then become such a community of the Spirit, a new creation? Well, it's more easily said than done. We need to die. Paul writes in verse 14, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. We're used to Paul speaking about the cross in the centre of his theology. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. But here Paul applies crucifixion language to himself. He says, through which the world has been crucified to me and I have been crucified to the world. In Paul's way of looking at the world, we not only look back to Golgotha, to the time of Christ's death, to find our identity. Somehow we still find our identity in Christ's death in the present, right now. Paul said earlier in Galatians 2, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And if this were not enough, Paul also speaks about the crucifixion of the world. In the death of Christ, the old world, the old creation, has died, along with its old ways of death and bondage. Three deaths have occurred. Christ died, the world died, and Paul died. All of the old antagonisms and bitterness stored up in relationships are dead. All of the old ways of measuring ourselves and comparing ourselves with others are dead. All of the fleshy definition of who is in and who is out are dead. If the cross represents the three deaths, though, it also heralds a new beginning. God raised Christ, and he will bring that triumphant reversal to fulfillment in every other sphere. Because Christ is risen, we together with creation will be raised to new life. Paul's gospel heralds nothing less than an actual total overturning until all things are made new. For as he says, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything. What counts is a new creation. Three deaths have occurred. But in the end, Christ, his people, and the new creation will be married, sharing resurrection life together in perfect communion. So earth-shattering, so cataclysmic is the event of the cross that Paul understands that Christ has taken us over the border into a new land where unimaginable things are now possible and bold. in this new land, all reference points that we lived by in the past have been torn down. There is no more living off the past because the past is rotting and the life of the future is erupting if we would just have eyes to see it. When we heard Paul say, I have been crucified with Christ, it doesn't mean that the cataclysmic event begun at Golgotha is over. It's still being carried out in an ongoing way by us, by Paul, and now through us. When Paul writes, the world has been crucified to me and I to the world, it means that Paul daily reaffirms the severing of ties to the old world and the old ways, the ways of bitterness, of judgmentalism, of revenge, of one-upmanship, and so on and so on. Every day he regards these ways as having no potency. Being crucified with Christ and to the world is an ongoing daily process and lifestyle. Paul's suffering is his ongoing participation in the reality of the cross and the new creation. For us, it is also that, but also a continuing of the character of Christ and the fruit of the Spirit in our midst as community, as church. It's dying to the world by dying to self and living in the new creation that comes from Christ's death and resurrection. You know, as churches can do many things to try and attract new members. They can do slick music, up-to-date technology, light shows, plans and programs, and a myriad of other things. And while they're not all bad, Paul clearly shows us, demonstrates to us the way that the church will be attractive to the world. And that is if we live as a church in the love of Jesus Christ the Lord, and show to the world by our love for each other that this is we are Jesus' disciples, and that the church that does that is really a church that is worth belonging to. Jesus tells us that the world will sit up and take notice of a church like that. We'll be the city on the hill, the light to the world, something completely different on the face of the earth, a new creation. Amen. So, Lord, let us die to the old ways of this world, the old ways of living, and let us embrace each other in love and shine your light in the world, so that people may know that you are truly our Lord and we are your disciples, and together we radiate your love, your life, something completely different, something brand new in this world, a new creation that was made by your death, where you put to death the old creation and rose again on the third day to bring the new creation into being. So, Lord, through your life, through your resurrection life, let us live in your love, to your glory, and so that the world may believe. In your precious name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen.